Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So it came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there also. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well to drink from it, and drink from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then the disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with the woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking to her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know this is indeed the Savior of the world." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated, Christ. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We always seem to be comparing and contrasting things in our lives. Take, for instance, the Hansen household. We are going to be in the market for a new kitchen oven one of these days. Don't ask me why. And the only way to sort of to do this is to compare and contrast those appliances that are available, right? You take two of them, you put them side by side, and you compare their value or their style. And then you're also contrasting product reviews, wait times for delivery, and either the need or the lack of features on them. All of this done to determine which of the two would be best. Although we hate to admit it, we also are always comparing and contrasting ourselves with others. Possessions, professions, looks, the list goes on and on and on. And this morning, in Paul's letter to the Romans, he invites us into a significant compare and contrast scenario, but not with each other, but rather with Jesus. God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, in light of such love, how do you stand by comparison? Standing next to Jesus, how do you measure up? How do you compare? What does it reveal about you? What does it reveal about Jesus? Now, obviously, standing next to Jesus, there is no comparison. Jesus is the Son of God. He is true God and true man. He is righteous without sin. You or I, by comparison, stand in sharp contrast to Jesus. Next to the righteous one, your unrighteousness is painfully evident. Standing next to God incarnate, your ungodliness is on full display. Standing next to Almighty God, your sinful weakness is crystal clear. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, you may try to hide your sin or cover it up in some foolish fashion. But standing next to Jesus, who you are is very clear to see. Weak, unrighteous, ungodly. We are a sinner. In our gospel, when we place the Samaritan woman next to Jesus and compare it to, the differences could not be greater. On the surface, there is a Jew and a Samaritan, but those really are the very least. Righteousness beside unrighteousness. Saint next to sinner. All knowing and speaking to a woman who does not know or understand. So she tries to hide her sin. I have no husband, when in fact she's had five and now she has a live-in boyfriend. And in an attempt to hide herself, she changes the conversation to a debate over proper places to worship. The contrast is obvious. She is in the presence of the one sent by God who knows her past and present. So when we stand next to Jesus, who we truly are, by the comparison in Paul's letter, is a little bit different, though. See, Paul has a comparison that he's making in verse 8, where he compares you and I to the cross of Jesus. When you are placed next to the cross, what does it show? What does it prove or reveal? Well, the answer is easy. It's God's love. God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When the point of comparison is you and the cross, God's love for you is proved, it's revealed for all to see, and it's demonstrated. Paul writes of this glorious contrast and comparison. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare even to die. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's word here invites you into another comparison. Who would need to be standing next to you for you to say, my life for his? Or put me to death so that she can live? Maybe a family member? Perhaps your child, you would make that type of sacrifice? The reality is, very few of us would give up their lives to save another. Could you imagine doing it for an ungodly person? For a sinner who hates you? Never in a million years would we do that. Except on Good Friday. Jesus, your Savior, and you were there standing with him with all of your sin, your evil desires, your ungodly words, your unrighteous deeds. And Jesus says, my life for yours. I am the good shepherd, and I willingly lay down my life, even though you as sheep are prone to wander. As you stand with Jesus at the cross, God's love is revealed to you. By the death of his son, your standing before God has now changed. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace with which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Because Jesus has offered his life for you, and by faith in his actions, God no longer sees you as unjust, but justified, no longer as unrighteous, but rather clothed with the righteousness of Jesus, no longer a sinner, but now a saint, no longer an enemy of God because of our sinful nature, but now at peace with God through Jesus. Consider this new comparison. Who you were by nature to who you are now in Jesus. What you justly deserve because of your sin to what Jesus has freely given you. You were standing in the muck and the mire of your own sin, and now you stand in the grace of God. By the death of Jesus, your standing before God most certainly has changed. By the faith you have, you now stand in God's grace and will remain in God's grace for all eternity. For your hope is sure and a certain hope, firmly founded in God's love shown to you through Jesus at the cross. And since your standing has changed, even your suffering takes on a whole new purpose. As one justified, your suffering is not God's wrath over your sin. Jesus endured that righteous wrath in your place on the cross. Thus, by God's grace, even believers suffering in this fallen world is sanctified. For God is working in all parts of your life, even when you suffer. Not only that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The love of God, shown, proven, and demonstrated for you in the cross of Jesus, is now abundantly poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit. In this very place, God's love is poured into you in the words of absolution, in the words given and shed for you at this rail. You come here to this place with your suffering, your trials, your afflictions, your burdens, and God's love is poured into your hearts through these means of grace to strengthen you, to comfort you, to produce in you endurance, character, and hope, and a hope that will never disappoint. Thus, there is even joy in suffering,
for you face suffering with a confidence that nothing in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If it were not for the grace of God, you would not be able to stand. But in Jesus, our standing before God has changed. The proof is the cross of Jesus. It is here that the love of God is revealed to you. You, the sinner, are forgiven. You, the unworthy of love, are loved abundantly, unconditionally, and eternally. You, the suffering one, are given peace, endurance, and hope. Never doubt any of this for a single second in your life. Instead, as you stand next to Jesus and you stand next to his cross, God, our Heavenly Father, will again and again and again show, prove, and demonstrate his love for you. For while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Amen.